Well, where did everyone go? Hiding from the rain, huh? So somewhere this morning, by the way, good morning and welcome to Grace Point Church. We're glad you're here. We really are. But sometime this morning, between probably right after the music, when I start preaching, it's going to start raining. And it's not going to stop till about 2 or 3. Yeah, I got a long one today. So just want you to know, you don't need to go anywhere. We'll take care of it right here, okay? We are glad that you were able to come out and be with us today. We really are. So as we begin our service, we'll do what we always do, give you an opportunity to stand and say hello to somebody next to you, around you, in front of you, beside you. Stand with me and please say hello to someone. Welcome them to Grace Point Church. All right. Thank you so much. Go ahead and be seated if you will. I'm going to draw your attention to something for us. Some time ago, we received these little clipboards, just the right size for you to put the sermon outline on, so you can take notes. Most of them should have a pen. Somehow, we got some more clipboards, and we needed them, but some of them still have this plastic stuff on them. So I want you to please look at your clipboards in front of you. If yours still has plastic on them, will you do me a favor and just tear it off? Now, I'm kind of meticulous. I like to get it all off around that metal thing and all around. Just get the plastic off so it looks usable. Will you do that for me? Take just a minute to do that. If you don't have one that has plastic, after the service, find one. I guarantee you there are still some that have the plastic stuff on them, and we'll go from there, okay? I appreciate you taking time to do that now or later. Can I handle what? Oh, can you handle it? Okay. Well, as you do that, I want to share with you a couple of verses this morning as we get started in our time of worship. It comes from Ephesians chapter 4. It's in verse 2. Ephesians 4, verse 2. I want to read it in two different translations. The Contemporary English Version says this: always be humble and gentle. Patiently put up with each other and love each other. I love the way it states that. Patiently put up. Have you ever had somebody you just had to put up with? Has there ever been anybody who just had to put up with you? I love the way Scripture is so practical. Be humble and gentle, patiently put up with each other and love each other. Now, the Voice paraphrase puts it this way. Look. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. Tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. Do you ever have to tolerate someone? Has anyone ever had to tolerate you? We're going to be talking about patience today, if you can't tell. Let's pray together. God, thank you for bringing us together this morning. And I'm so grateful that you love us so much. And our worship to you is just one way we can show you, Father, that we love you as well. So bless our time together. Teach us this morning about patience. Because sometimes we're a little less patient with others than we need to be. Sometimes we need to tolerate others, just like others tolerate us. Speak to us in that way. So bless our time of worship through our music. You've blessed us through our fellowship. Bless it through your word. We turn ourselves over to you and we tune in to who you are. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. To invite somebody for Easter. So on your pews, you should have gotten these. Did you see these? I hope you did. If you didn't, you might be sitting on it, but it's there for you. Where are the cards, guys? They're at each station. We have 500 of these here today. Next week, we'll have another 500, so we're getting 1,000 cards in for all of us to take and simply use as an invitation tool to ask people to come to Easter service here, okay? So today, during the response time, you may not want to do anything else but go to one of the stations we have here in the church and pick up some. How many? However many you want. And if next week's 500, we have 1,000. If that's not enough, guess what? We'll print more. Good enough? I know it's several weeks before Easter, but we got to start inviting them now. Okay? All right. Very good. Very good. So I want to tell you a little story I heard about a teacher. Do we have teachers here? I know teachers are special. Teachers are special. They really are. And I heard one story about a teacher whose patience was being tried. It was a teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put on his boots. And he asked her for help, and she couldn't understand why. But with her pulling and pushing the boots, they just didn't want to seem to go on to his foot. And by the time the second boot was on, she had worked up quite a sweat, and she almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting the boots on. She kept her cool together, though, as they worked on the boots. They got them back on, and this time on the right feet. And then he said, "Teacher, these aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than scream. And she said, "Why didn't you say so?" So she started taking him off again. She pulled off the ill-fitting boots, and he then said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them today." She didn't know if she should laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace and patience she had to wrestle the boots onto his feet once again, and she said, "Now where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." Her patience was spent. I think that would have spent most of our loads or levels of patience we have. I saw some sayings that had to do with patience. One of them said, ask the question, "Do you run?" And the response was, "Yes, out of patience." Does that ever apply to you? One said, "I had my patience tested and I'm totally negative." None there. If you think patience is a virtue, you should try surfing the net without high-speed internet. Patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, but not in the one ahead of you. One person prayed this, "Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'm going to need bail money as well to go with it." We're in a series of messages called Developing Outstanding Relationships, and today we want to look at the power of patience. Last week we introduced this series. We talked about why love needed to be our greatest aim in life. Today we're going to look at the first building block of outstanding relationships, and that is patience. We're getting these themes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, the Bible says this, very simply, love is patient. God says that when you relate to people, when you have healthy, growing, good relationships, the first thing you need is patience. Now, why would God know that? He's had thousands of years of experience dealing with people like you and me. He knows we need to be patient. The word literally means that it takes a long time to boil. We talked about somebody having a short fuse. Patience means you have a long fuse. And this particular word isn't used in relationship to anything else in the Bible except for people. You need to take a long time to boil to relate well in relationships with people. So a couple of things this morning. First of all, why is patience so vital to relationships? Look at this verse. Well, number one, because everybody is different. One of the reasons it's necessary is because everybody is different. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 12:6. God works through different people in different ways. It says we're different people. Everybody's an original. If you're a parent, you have two kids or three kids, you know that. They're all different. They're all unique. It's amazing how different human beings are. Everyone is different. For instance, how many of you like playing or watching golf? Anybody? Like, nobody likes playing or watching golf? What, one person? Okay, that's good. That's good. Anybody like watching baseball? Football? Anybody have a favorite team in football you like to pull for? We don't need names, just want to know, okay. How many of you like, anybody here like riding horses? I think some folks enjoy that. Okay, very good, very good. Anybody here like to take afternoon naps? Early evening naps? Right before you go to bed naps? Anybody like to shoot guns? Maybe some of you like to go hunting, enjoy that, very good. How many of you dislike taking verbal forced surveys in church? Yeah, you do, just weren't going to raise your hand. We're all different. We have different perspectives. We're different the way we're made, the way we're born. Because we're all different, we need to have patience with each other. There's another reason why patience is so vital to relationships. Number two, because our differences create misunderstanding. Our differences can create misunderstandings. Often we just can't figure each other out. We don't know where the other person is coming from because we're different. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says this: "No one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he is really like except that person himself." Nobody can understand. People are married, husband and wife can be married 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 60 years, and there's still some things. I don't understand her. I don't understand him. Sometimes you just, because we're all different. If you had my boss, you couldn't figure him out either, you might think. That's we're all different. Have any of you ever used these phrases in the last month? I don't understand the way he acts. I don't get it. She doesn't understand me. He's on a different wavelength. She doesn't make any sense. How can you think that way? My parents are from a different time zone. Why do I have to tell you 48 times before you do it? Why won't you talk to me? Why do you get so emotional? Why are these all part of who we are and how we get along, or sometimes they create difficulties? Because we are all different and we have misunderstandings because of it. And yet, look what the Bible tells us to do. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Be patient with everyone. Not select people, but everyone. The reason we're impatient with others is from misunderstanding, and misunderstanding comes from four wrong assumptions. Look at these. Four wrong assumptions where misunderstanding comes from. The first wrong assumption is this: that words mean the same thing to everybody. That the words I use and speak to you, I assume they mean the same thing to you as they do to me. And guess what? They don't. Did you know that the 500 most used words in the English language have over 14,000 different definitions? Some of those words even have over 100 different meanings. When you say one thing and you expect the other person to understand it in the same context in which you meant it, it doesn't mean that they do. Men and women are good examples of this. For instance, women say, "I'll be ready in 5 minutes." Men hear, "That's a half hour." When your girlfriend or your bride-to-be, your wife or whatever says, "Go ahead," with raised eyebrows, men think, "Get started." Women say, "I dare you." When a man says, "It would take too long to explain," it really means, "I have no idea how it works." When a man says, "Honey, we don't need material things to prove our love," it really means, "I forgot our anniversary again." When a woman says, "Do what you want," it really means, "You'll pay for it later." We have misunderstandings because words and phrases mean different things to different people, so we need to be patient. There's a second wrong assumption that leads to misunderstanding. Number two, that there is only one right way to see things. Now, that's just not true. There are things I believe that are black and white, without question. There's one God, there's one way to heaven through Jesus. I believe that. I think no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I think America's a great country, not because of our politicians, but in spite of them. Many times, there's more than one way to see things, and sometimes we get stuck in only seeing it this way. And because of that, when people see it differently, we become impatient with each other. There are more than one way. There is more than one way to see things. There's a third wrong assumption that leads to misunderstanding. Number three, that my way is the only right way. There wouldn't be any problem if you would just get on my wavelength. My side of the argument is clear. Yours is confusing. My side of the issue is logical. Yours is irrational. My frustration is justified. Yours is unwarranted. My side of the conversation makes perfect sense, but on the other side, the lights are on, but nobody's home. There is more than one way to see things, and the way we see things is not always the only way or necessarily the right way. And there's a fourth wrong assumption that leads to misunderstanding. Number four, that I can figure out your motives. I can see through you. I can see what's going on inside. I can see the wheels and the cogs in your brain turning. I know who you are. I know where you're from. I know what you've been through. And so therefore, I can figure out your motives. Listen to me, folks. You cannot. Maybe there are sometimes you know somebody else's motives, maybe sometimes, but you cannot figure somebody else's motives out all the time. We're motivated differently. Sometimes you can't even figure out your own motives. Why did I really do that? Why do I believe that? Why do I think that? Why did I behave in that way? Why did I talk that way to that person? What were your motives? I'm not even sure. I can't even figure out me. How can I assume I can figure out you? Impatience comes from misunderstanding, and misunderstanding comes from these four wrong assumptions. So don't assume words mean the same thing to everyone. You need to check it out as you're talking. What did you mean by that? This is what I think you said. Kind of clarify that for me. If you don't, you're going to become very impatient with each other. And God wants us to become patient people. Don't assume there's only one way to see things and that way is your way. Don't assume that your way is the only right way. Don't assume you can figure out people's motives. You can't. God says to love others by being patient with them, even if they're not patient with you. And God never tells us to do something without showing us how to do it. So, second part of the message. How can we be more patient with people? How to become more patient with people? How do we do that? First, let me suggest this. Remember how patient God is with me. You want to be patient with other people? Sometimes you need to take a deep breath, settle down, sit down, and just think about how God is patient with you. In 1 Timothy 1:16, here's what Paul says. I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience. Folks, you'll never have to be more patient with anybody else than God has had to be with you. And Paul says, man, I was shown mercy. I was the worst of sinners. And God wanted to display his patience to me through me. If you remember the story of Paul in the New Testament, Paul was a fanatic. He participated in the murder of Stephen. Paul said, God chose me. He said, God turned me around and showed me his unlimited patience by forgiving me, by accepting me, by changing me, by using me, by growing me. God is patient with me. The next time you say to someone, grow up, remember, God's still waiting for you to grow up too in a lot of areas. When you want to say to your kids, kids, why is it taking so long? Why don't you get this? Just imagine, God probably does the same thing with you. Why don't you get this yet? Why is it taking so long? Why aren't you getting with the action? Why aren't you getting in gear? Why isn't your life maturing in these areas that I'm giving you opportunity to change in? Why isn't your language cleaning up? God is so very patient with us. Look what Paul said in Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ has accepted you. The reason I'm to accept other people is because God has accepted me. The reason I'm to be patient with other people is that God is patient with me. The reason I'm to try to get along with others is that God gets along with me. The starting point is to remember how patient God is with me, and then say, God, help me to emulate that patience with other people around me, and sometimes with myself. Anybody here become impatient with your own self? How come I can't do this yet? How come I'm still struggling? I should have had that done. And you're hard on yourself, and you have little patience for yourself. Folks, you need to be patient with others, and you need to be patient with you. God is patient with you. There's a second way to become more patient. We remember how patient God is with us, and then number two, we need to learn by listening. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. You get wisdom by learning. You learn by listening. You can't learn without listening. And it's got to go from here to here to here. You learn by listening to others. How many times, people, you're talking with somebody and you're not necessarily in an argument, but you're talking and you have a different perspective and you want to make your point, and sometimes we'll just interrupt the person. Bam! Or sometimes we'll quit listening just to wait so we can hear them stop talking so we can say, here's the point I was going to make. A man's wisdom gives him patience to listen. Look at Proverbs 14:29. A patient man has great understanding. You want to understand why what's going on is going on in your life and your relationships with others, why things don't always work out, why things always end maybe the same way? You have to become patient because patient people have great understanding. In those two verses, circle this. In the first verse, 19:11, circle the word wisdom. And in the second verse, circle the word understanding. If you want to learn to be more patient, the key is to listen and then gain understanding. The Bible says the key to patience is understanding. The more wisdom you have, the more understanding you're going to have. The more understanding you are of other people, the more patient you're going to be with them. If you don't understand them, you're not going to be patient with them. That's the foundation. That's the point here. No understanding, no patience. More understanding, more patience. Folks, the fact is one of the deepest needs we all have is to be understood. Paul Tournier, a Swiss psychiatrist, said, no one can fully develop in this world and find a full life without feeling understood by at least one person. No one comes to know himself through introspection or in the solitude of his personal diary. Rather, it is in a dialogue with meeting other people. God never meant for you to be an island unto yourself. He didn't make us that way. We figure out who we are and who God made us to be in the context of relationships with others. It's one of the deepest needs we have, simply to be understood. That's one of the reasons we offer small groups at our church where you can become a part of. You can join a small group. Some groups maybe have 8 or 10 people. Some, I think, have 14 people. And you can begin to know people and grow with people and just allow them to share themselves with you and you with them. And you can learn how to not only be understood, but how to understand others as well. If you're not part of a small group in our church yet, I encourage you to do that as quickly as possible. How can I better understand the people I'm impatient with? By listening to them. When you really listen to somebody, Your mind is not racing to the next thing you're going to say, to the next point you're going to make. And if they're saying something you disagree with, your mind isn't going, all right, here's an illustration I can give to shoot that down. You just listen. And by listening doesn't mean you're accepting, doesn't mean you even agree, it doesn't mean you're condoning anything. You're just listening to what they say. There was a guy over in Spain who took a stool, set it down in the middle of a big area where there was a big shopping area, set a stool down there and sat on it and had a sign that says, I'll listen to you, and he put an amount of money down there. He stayed busy all day long. He never gave advice. He said, all I'm doing is listening. And he sat there and said nothing, and all he did was listen. You know why people paid that stranger? Because people want to be heard. Sometimes we just need to zip it. We just need to shut up and listen. Just listen. Look at Proverbs 18:13. Listen before you answer. If you don't, you're being stupid and insulting. Don't you love the way the Bible puts things? I don't know whoever said the Bible's out of date. They have no clue. Listen before you answer. If you don't, you're being stupid and insulting. I love the candor that's in Scripture. And this is pretty clear. Don't evaluate what people are saying while they're saying it. Just listen to their story. There's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we're speaking. And it's hard to listen with an open mouth. So just listen. How would you rate as a listener on a scale of 1 to 10? How would you rate as a listener? You just listen to somebody. You hear them out. Most of us think we're pretty good listeners. We may be good hearers, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're good listeners. I read of a guy who decided to do an unscientific survey at the weddings to prove that nobody listens. He went down the receiving line at the ceremony and he gave each one a warm smile. And he said as he leaned in, the alligators are loose. All the way down the aisle, the alligators are loose. Every hand he shook, the alligators are loose. Everybody just looked at him and smiled. And they said back, thank you, thank you, thank you. One lady even said, oh, you really think so? I made them myself. People don't listen. I love this simple poem. His thoughts were slow, his words were few, and never formed to glisten. But he was a joy to all his friends. You should have heard him listen. Let somebody say that about you. Wow, you should have heard them listen. They just heard me. So a way you show love by being patient is by listening. Number three, another way you show love through being patient is by making allowances for each other. You want to be patient? You need to make allowances for each other. Folks, everybody has bad days. We're all flaky from time to time. We all have bad hair days, attitude days, mood days. It's just a fact of life. And the Bible says we need to make allowances for each other. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 4:2. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Notice he says here, Paul says faults, not mistakes. Faults, that is a person's inerrant imperfections. We all have faults. Yes, we all make mistakes, but we all have faults. It's easy to see other people's faults and not so easy sometimes to see our own. That's why Jesus said you need to deal with the board in your own eye first and then help somebody else who has a speck in their eye. Deal with what's going on in your own life first. And the fact is, folks, we all have a story. We all have a backstory. Most of the time, we don't know a person's story. We may not know their backstories, and so we become very impatient with them. We show a little less patience with them. Look what the writer of Proverbs said. Proverbs 12:16. Smart people will ignore an insult. We all have bad days. We're all a little crazy. The advice here is just ignore an insult. Sometimes people say things they don't mean. They say them in the heat of the moment. You just need to learn to ignore some stuff. Don't wear all your feelings on your sleeves all the time. You need to learn just to say, you know what, that was a mistake. You need to learn also, though, to take criticism from somebody. Sometimes they have a good point. They make a good point about your personality, about your choices, about things you're involved in. And don't get all puffed up. Listen, you won't grow that way. Be patient. Listen to them. I can listen to anybody, regurgitate what they're saying in my mind, through my heart. And, you know, even when people are off the charts, just out of their minds talking to me, and just blessing me out, I can walk away when everything's said and done. I can learn at least one thing from them. They're nuts. But no, just kidding. just kidding. Smart people ignore an insult. And then number four, we need to treat others how we want to be treated. We need to treat others how we want to be treated. This is not new. This is the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Always treat others as you like them to treat you. Folks, that single verse alone could save a lot of relationships. This is why it's so easy to understand, but difficult to practice. Treat others the way we want to be treated. Paul put it this way in Philippians 2, verses 4 and 5. None of you should think of his own affairs only, but consider others' interests as well. Let your attitude toward life be that of Christ Jesus. He's saying, pay attention to the needs of other people. Look, listen, discover what they're interested in. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with ourselves and we get so caught up in our own little world, we don't do that very well. The Bible says, look out for other people's interests. Now, it's okay to look out for your own interests, but not stop there. Look out for other people's interests as well. Be aware. Be considerate. Folks, it is easy to think of things from other people's perspectives. Isn't that true? No, that's not true at all. It's hard to see sometimes things from another person's vantage point, from their viewpoint. It's like it's not normal. It's not natural. It's certainly not easy. It takes effort. It takes God's help. Normally, we just see things from our perspective. But think about other people and their perspective. It's a key to great relationships. You know why we need to see things from other people's perspective? Because everybody has a story, and every story has a backstory. Does that make sense? If you're just talking to somebody face to face, and you don't have a clue about why they're angry about this or why they're so upset about that, listen, maybe their story will start to come out, and maybe if you listen long enough, the backstory behind that story will come out, and all of a sudden you'll go, wow, no wonder they behave this way. No wonder they think this way. No wonder they've acted out this way. Everybody has a story and everybody has a backstory. Just listen. You don't have to fix everybody. Just listen. You will be amazed how relationships can grow when people in that relationship, whatever relationship it is, when they just listen. Now, I know this is easier said than done. Many of you know I work full-time as a chaplain out at the Roper Hospital in Mount Pleasant. And it's easy for me to go into those patients' rooms and listen to their stories. If I sit there long enough and they want to, I start hearing their backstories. And then I understand, here's your physical ailment, but now I know why they're acting the way they are. That's easy. Really, it's easy. I've been doing it for decades. What's harder is when I get into a relationship of somebody that I know, friends, family, because then we're personally involved, right? And it's harder to step back and just take it objectively. I understand that. But I know one of the keys that helps people break through is just listen. Here's your homework. Sometime this week when people are starting to blah, 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 and you're ready to just get out of there, you want to give them the advice you know they need, your homework. When you're aware of that situation, I think the Bible used the words shut up, right? When you're in that situation and you're ready to get that advice, at least once this week, shut up and just listen. It's amazing when you do that. It's amazing when you do that. That person is going to think you were the most wonderful counselor in the whole world and you did nothing but listen. Where did this verse come from? Oh, it's the other verse that was, you're good. Look back at that last verse we had. It's on your outline, Philippians 2, 4 through 5. Let your attitude toward life be that of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is the real secret of patience. Because it's not natural for you to be patient. Certainly not with everyone. But you can be under God's power. So this week, ask God to give you patience. This week, ask God in His power to help you become patient in whatever relationships you're involved in, to become patient with people around you. Are you willing to say to God, God, instead of changing people around me who are irritating my life, work on my attitude, work on my ability to hear people, to listen to people, to be that person who cares. You want good relationships? You want outstanding relationships? Whatever kind of relationships you have with other people, start being patient and just see how those relationships grow. All right, let's pray together. God, thank you for being patient with us. I can't imagine how you're even able, God, to be so patient with us. Our patience, Lord, is sometimes practiced well, sometimes, maybe many times, not so much. But you can help us to become patient. Lord, just remind us, you're patient with us, we should be patient with ourselves and others. Show us, Lord, that as we practice patience, as we've talked about it according to your word today, as we practice patience, our relationships have a much better chance to grow and to thrive than if we become impatient with others. Help us, Lord, when we become impatient with somebody, help us just ask ourselves, what's going on the inside of me that's making me so impatient with them? And then to emulate what your word has encouraged us to do today, Lord. Realize people see things differently. We shouldn't take things as personally. Everybody has a story and a backstory. And God, just help us to listen better. And I think when we do that, we'll learn what it means to become patient and relationships will have a better chance to grow. So use your word, Lord, to challenge us, to bless us, to grow us today. Become people who practice patience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. You got a word to say? Oh, Kevin's coming back, folks. He's coming back.
Yeah. Keep you in order. So I mentioned, is this on?
Yes.
So I mentioned using the cards for Easter. We're getting that out early. One other thing
we were talking about this week as we were preparing for this, John, Jason, and I, we really need you all, who are our regular members, regular attenders, to do one other thing for us for Easter. Go out and invite people, get your cards, do all of that, be praying. We need our people to fill this front pew. That front pew, because guests don't want to sit up front. You don't even want to sit up front. Right? That's why the front pew in any church is empty.
Amy's in the front pew. Like,
Amy, thank you.
Yes.
But sure enough, on Easter Sunday, we need these two front pews filled. We expect our church to be full. We're going to set up chairs. We expect to be completely full. We had how many last year?
202.
We had 202 last year. We expect at least that many. We won't squeeze them in here if these two pews are empty, and I don't want a guest to sit in the front pew. Does that make sense? Do I have any volunteers? Can I see a hand? Two, three. Oh, good, good. That's enough for one side. All right? We need more for... Just consider it. Sorry, John.
Yeah, how many people did you have last year? 202, but who's counting, right? Yeah, it's a great, great time. And so those little cards that Kevin mentioned, they're very easy to hand out, just to share with somebody. Most people are planning to go to church somewhere on Easter. Why not come here and join here with us? So we'd love for you to do that, to share those. So great time with the youth today. Jason, is there kind of a faster song we could do to maybe at the end here? Would that be possible? All right, let's do that. Well, let's pray together. Take that same joy with you as you go out. And again, you're going to run into some folks this week. Pass those cards out to them. Invite them. Come back. And even next week is okay. Invite them next week, right? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this fun time. It is so good to come into your house, the house of the Lord, and remind us of this joy that we have right here. Help us to take it out with us into the world that needs it so badly. Thank you for the reminder that love is patient, and there's power in being patient with others and all the differences that we come across. Lord, we love you. We thank you, and we pray it all, and we lift it up to you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.